July 4th, 2023. Dear brethren, 7 years ago today, I wrote to each of you asking that you read the correspondence between Brother Ed Wilson and myself regarding our doctrinal teaching against medical aid and asking you to please let me know if you find any error in anything I have put forth on the subject. Two ministers immediately contacted me to express their agreement, but from the rest, I did not get any response, although several of you promised to consider the material and get back with me, promises that have not been kept by anyone except Sister Angela Gillenbeck, who is still to this day the only minister who has responded to this material in any way. I had to reach out to most of you in advance just to get your emails. I had no more than a couple of your emails before I reached out to you, asking for your permission to share with you the correspondence which had taken place between Brother Ed Wilson and myself over the previous couple of years. Each of you who I contacted gave unhesitating permission to send the material, indicating an unqualified willingness to review it when you received it. I petitioned each of you 3 times in writing, and on the 3rd request, I told you that unless someone could show me in Scripture that the teachings of D.S. Warner on this subject or my presentation of those teachings was in error, and since there seems to be a stonewalling by the ministers, and since I had sought to go through the pastors and not around them, that I would now bypass the ministers and endeavor to reach the laity through a website to be called humansacrificeiswrong.com. Sister Angela, after the 3rd petition, wrote an email asking me to slow down regarding putting this information out to the general laity. So I did nothing for another 6 years until after the Monarch National Camp meeting ended last year in 2022, and then I took the website live. Within the first 2 weeks, several hundred unique visitors had visited the website, and by the end of 2022, more than 1,000 unique users with over 20,000 interactions had been logged by the website, and the number continues to grow. I had already notified the ministers that I was creating the website and had given you the link to it, so I did not feel the need to send yet another communication to you on the subject. However, a number of people have continued to ask whether I have ever gotten a response from this one or that one of you, and whether I am sure that you received the material and would I try again, etc. Some have messaged that they have also reached out to you on their own, but your responses have been described by them as seeming political and self-serving, including more broken promises, this time directly to the laity whom you serve. For example, Minister Blank, did you promise to respond to Blank last year, shortly after the website went live? Did you tell them you were pretty busy, but that as soon as you got caught up just a bit, you would listen to the audio recordings, only 6 hours at one time speed, meaning they could have been listened to in their entirety in a couple of days while driving, and then give your response? Well, that person is now attending another church and does not intend further association with the saints, thanks in part to their conclusion that the evening light ministers lack basic honesty and are therefore not safe to trust a person's soul to their care. The laity see these responses and evasions, including the disclaimer which I was requested to put on the website, as political and self-serving. They have told me so and would tell you so if given the chance. Christ said, "It shall not be so among you." In other words, Christ is commanding, let the greatest of you show some humility and tell the laity what all this means for them, including whether this website is truth or is poison to them. A sister messaged me and said that she had received the website link and that this disturbed my peace. And I called another sister in the congregation and she said it disturbed her peace too. What is missing in this message? Do you notice who the sheep called? Another sheep. It seems that it didn't even occur to her to call her pastor, who was on the list and is on the current list as well. Another pastor was on the internet as the website was rapidly gaining audience all over the world. He was on Facebook. I put here he was on YouTube. It was actually Facebook, as I thought about it later. In his Sunday message, he's telling his congregation and everybody watching on the internet, don't let anyone cause you to question your faith, including people among us. And he repeated that a time or two. Including people among us, make sure they got it, as if people are unaware that someone among us is putting this information out. It was when the information was going out everywhere, so the reference was pretty obvious. So going on here, this, in my opinion, is weaponizing the role and authority of the church in the same way as the papacy has done to put people under a religious proscription from daring to look into the Word of God for themselves. The abuse being perpetrated here is that this pastor has every opportunity and duty and obligation and ability, and by the way, an international platform for doing so, to take this website line by line, point by point, and teach his congregation and the whole international community exactly what is wrong with what I have presented and what the Bible really teaches. But He resorts to telling them not to look at it instead. How about a 4 to 6 week series of lessons available online for all of us to watch, dismantling everything I have presented? But no, it can't be done because, as I keep telling everyone, I did not create this information. I didn't even discover it. I'm merely reporting it. I was told by a member of the laity who questioned the non-response from the ministers that the ministers have no duty or obligation to take notice of any of this information or to respond to it in any way. Obviously, the ministers are not required to take notice of or respond to every challenge that is presented regarding church doctrine. Otherwise, they wouldn't have time to do much else. But even the Supreme Court of the United States will stop what it is doing to hear and respond to a case that involves capital punishment because a life is on the line. The effort to find cover by claiming you do not have a duty to inform, see Ezekiel 33, or saying you did not really know, Brother Arlen, so you deleted everything, or that you thought this whole thing was a Facebook thing and you're not on Facebook, and then promising and breaking the promise to look into it and respond, or giving your congregation member your opinion and then forbidding them to disclose it, leading them to sit down and write you a long email charging you with failure in your scriptural duty to inform, and then deleting the email in dismay and crying on my shoulder about it, so to speak. It is seen for what it is. It's craven and political, and unworthy of those who have brought the word of God down to us at such awful cost. Our ministers are corrupting the gospel with this travesty concocted by E.E. Byram, who, by the way, later repented publicly for doing it. And we are perpetuating this for one reason and one reason only, our worship of our movement doctrine. And I want to say, you would never come up with this if you were starting up a movement from scratch, knowing all these scriptures. Nobody would come up with this. That's why I say here, there's only one reason we're doing this. And that is our worship of our movement doctrine. All those who have suffered and died as a result of this false doctrine did so, believing that they were obeying the word of God. As I've said repeatedly in the website material, they and we would have had to violate our consciences to do anything else. But we have no such excuse now because we have light. And now it is our turn to do exactly what those before us did at such cost, to have the courage and integrity to now stand clear on the word of God as it is now revealed to us. I said in the audio portion of the website, in conclusion, track 23, that these are pure, holy brethren. They will lay down their lives for what they believe. But one brother, in listening to the previous statement, put it this way: they have the spirit, but not the word. When Christ depicted the judgment scene, he described the fate of ministers and gospel workers who, regardless of any other devotion or sacrifice or miracles even, commit through fear of the idol movement or for whatever reason, the sin of omission by failing to render aid to suffering humanity when it is within their power to do so. I have listened to recent messages, including from 2 days ago, last Sunday, July 2nd, 2023, on churchofgodpreaching.com, and also from the recent Guthrie Camp meeting. And it's clear that some of you are going to just keep right on preaching the E.E. Byram doctrine, telling the people that the scripture commands that the sick are to be anointed and prayed for and to do nothing else, even if death results. But I'm saying, on the authority of God's word, which you have had 7 years to refute, that you are preaching false doctrine in doing so, and that the scriptural teachings of D.S. Warner clearly show that you are deceiving the people with your words. And I'm asking you to take a few minutes to listen to the audio tracks. You can listen while you're driving down the road. According to my website stats, about 1,500 other people have already done so. One brother told me when he finishes the audios, he starts it over and listens to it all again. Another person wrote, "And to think, after all these years of feeling condemned, if I even question our teaching, to think that the scriptures are clear on this subject after all." I wanted to reach out to each of you individually today on this 7th anniversary of my first petition to you, not knowing how many of you may have deleted the previous petitions or may have not been aware that the website is now live, to make sure you have the link to the website so you can read it for yourself and can listen to the audio tracks, and I want to insert here, and so that I can document my effort for those who are getting these evasive responses from the ministers and who are questioning whether I'm sure they ever got the information. That's the other purpose for doing this, putting on notice and making sure you're served with this information. One person reported to me that one of you told him that you have not looked at the website or listened to any of the audio tracks and do not intend to do so. My response, considering the gravity and the impact and the implications of this topic and your role and history, considering the person who supposedly said this to the Inquirer, and your responsibility to souls, is to quote Brother Austis Wilson, who told someone one time, "Get to heaven that way if you can." In my opinion, this type of hostility to the Word of God, for no reason, can only be explained by what the noted world historian Will Durant called fear driven by religion, which Durant says is the most cruel force known in the history of humanity. Our setting up of our movement in such a way as to make people fear the movement doctrine more than they fear the Word of God and making them feel condemned if they dare to look into the Word of God on this subject is, I believe, what the Apostle Paul called another gospel, when not a single minister, not one, will open his Bible, but instead are all pleading the fifth on this. And when they go so far as to break promises they have made in writing, in emails I could post, then we have to go deeper than a discussion of the scriptures themselves, because that's apparently off the table. We have to discuss how we got here as well as the danger of trusting our souls in such a place and to such a ministry. A family left one of our congregations and began attending another church. A former congregation member asked the wife why she and her husband had left. The wife's response was, well, Brother Blank just doesn't hold his thought. First of all, he doesn't have a thought. We've always said as a movement that if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't have much to draw people to. I hear us now referring to our, quote, belief system in messages, rather than claiming that we take the Bible at full strength, undiluted and unadulterated. You've heard of the good old boy system. Well, have we adopted a good old belief system in place of the good old Bible system? And how do we plan to feature benefit this system? Because other churches have ministers who can hold their thought better than we can. And first of all, they have a thought, to quote the person who left in search of better preaching. I preached the first message of my ministry in 1990. The subject the Lord gave me was the Word of God. That first message of my ministry was my covenant to God and His people to always do my best to uphold the Word of God. And it is still my purpose that regardless of how my circumstances or the enemy or any other thing reduces me to irrelevance, and no matter that I am left to hold this barley field alone for 10 years when I thought my brother was holding a position next to me, I still declare today on the 7th anniversary of my petitions to you ministers that by the grace of God, I will use my last dying twitch to point people to the Word of God, Arlen Sorrell. And then after that, there's the website link. So there's several links to the website. Humansacrifice.com is one, but some told me that was too harsh. So I have cogstl.com. You can go there, cogstl.com. And then from there, you can hit the link for the audio tracks if you want to. It's also on YouTube, and the text version here has the link to that. If you go to my name, you can click on that and hit a playlist and listen to it. And the advantage of that is being able to turn the speed up. I don't know if you can turn the speed up on the other player or not.